Praise the Lord. God is so good. And so I'm not going to talk fast, but I'm going to finish this thing as quick as I can. Because one thing we believe in, we don't like to take people's time, you know, and things of that nature. If you got your Bibles, and I hope you do, go with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 18. I want to read this verse of scripture. And we've been dealing with vision. Let me tell you something about vision. A vision will give you a life sentence or a death sentence, because it has both in it. And in Proverbs chapter 29, let me get to it real quick with my Bible here. Hallelujah. Verse 18, the Bible reads, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, keepeth the word, happy is he." I want to talk about and close out on this vision thing I've been talking about, that you cannot live without a vision. Vision and partnership are synonymous terms. A partner won't become a partner with you unless you have a vision. And the vision will produce the partnership. So they're very synonymous in their thinking. So I want you to understand this so God's word cannot and will not return void for you. Now, this is my last session. I'll be flying home, and then I'm going to be in two different states Sunday. I mean, just flying, preaching this gospel literally all over the world. Why? Vision. It's what God wants us to do. I'm going to read that verse again. "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Now, in my day sessions, I was dealing with the sight of vision. Vision is the mother of inquiry. Remember that? The mother of direction and the mother of goodness. But see, without one, you will stagnate and die. You will decay. With one will keep you alive and well and blessed beyond your wildest dreams. And it's just such a blessing of the Lord to see what God has done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. So I want you to write this down. Read the verse again. "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the word, happy is he." So write this down if you can. One of the best things God ever did for mankind was give his ability to see the future and make it happen. What are you going to make happen? If you have a vision for it, it'll come to pass. Don't worry about the time frame, because you are an eternal being. You're a spirit housed in a soul and clothed in a body. There is an ability into you to keep your body alive, because death and life's in the what? Power of the what? The tongue. Now, do you see yourself alive or do you see yourself as dead? It's just how you see yourself. That's a great power there. See, let me say it again. One of the best things God ever did for mankind was give us his ability to see the future and to make it happen. So I determine what's going to happen in my life. Not the devil, not the U.S. government, not anybody else, just me. You see what I'm saying? One time Kathy was mad at me about the ministry about me. She said, everything is not all about you. I said, Kathy, everything is about me. And I convinced her of it. And then she ran me out of her office. But I mean, that took care of that, praise the Lord. So I didn't convince her too well. I was making a joke, but it wasn't funny to her. To be able to see what you've done, not forgetting what you've done, see what you're doing. So I don't deal with the past because that's past me. I don't even deal with the present because I'm here. I deal with my future. What do I want out there? What do I want in front of me? You see, and God said, if you do not think this way, you're not going to make it. You are going to decay and you're going to die. He says that. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So one of the best things God ever did for mankind was give us his ability to see the future and to make it happen. Write this down. You must see the end of your vision before you begin. So you got to see the end of it before you start. That's how God did. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, "Be ye therefore imitators of God." Jesus did not die 2,000 years ago on the cross. That's not true. That was his physical death. He was a lamb led to the slaughter before the foundations of the earth. So God finished, then he began. Do you see that? So you have to understand and walk like he walked. God, that's why you never surprise God when you ask him for something, because he's already finished. He's seen the end result. See, he finished and he said, "Began." Just begin. That's all you have to do. You see, and that's what I mean by vision. You have to see the end of it. when you start it, because then you know where you're going. You know what you're going to do when you get there. See, and I said this before many times. Many people don't know where they're going, so they don't know where they're going to be when they show up. They think it's the gospel casino. You're shooting dice, hoping it might work. No, that don't work that way. Well, what about all these sin people? Let me help you about all this sin in the world. I could care less how bad it gets. Why? Because the promises of God are far more powerful than the sins of people. See, I mean, you got to understand this promise is far greater than the sins of people. You got the promise of your family down to 1,000 generations. I don't care how bad your son is or your daughter is. What did God say? See, but most people focusing on the bad instead of focusing on what they really want. They're focusing on what they have. Well, to get the change what you have, you got to focus on what you want. So let me say it again. You must see the end of your vision before you begin. And when you understand that, then you'll know when you get to the end that you are where you're supposed to be. You complete your destiny and you reach your destination. You see, there's always somebody telling you what you can't do. And that's water on a duck's back. You see, I already know what I'm going to do. I can do all things. Now, when you say that, the church, we're going to get mad. Who cares? Let them get mad. I had a man say, you're not afraid of dying. Dying's easy. It's living that's hard. Now, how can you say, have you ever had guns put in your face? Because all I do is pull the trigger. It's like the light goes out. Boom, you're dead. But if you got to get up every morning and fight that battle, that's a whole nother ball game. Do you see what I'm trying to say? So you got to understand what God is saying. I don't get disturbed with the clutter of what's going on. Write this down so you'll see what I'm talking about. You must listen to the still small voice of God rather than the loud voice of the multitude. God don't talk real loud, the Father. You got to know the difference between the Father's voice, the Son's voice, the Holy Spirit's voice. You got to understand Trinity language. You see, I have a spirit. I have a spirit voice. I have a soulish voice. And I have a physical voice. And I can explain it this way. That's why when you hear yourself on tape, you go, that don't sound like me. And everybody says, that sounds exactly like you. You know why you say that? Because you've never heard your physical voice with your outer ear. You hear it with your inner ear. Everybody else hears it with their outer ear. So when you hear yourself on tape, you go, that don't sound like me. That sounds exactly like you. But see, you're seeing it with the inner ear. You're hearing it with the inner ear instead of the outer ear. Let me say it again. You must listen to the still small voice of God rather than the loud voice of the multitude. So people can say what they want about me. I could flat care less. Why? It ain't going to change nothing in me. Have you ever saw me sad or discouraged? And all get people get mad. He's so cocky. No, I'm not. I am one of the nicest men you'll ever meet in your life. Ask Kathy. Am I a nice woman? I'll buy you another diamond. I promise you I will. No, I'm just joking. Praise God. No, you see, but it didn't make any difference to me. I don't mean to sound man up. I ain't afraid of nothing. Nothing. You understand? I mean, I have been so close to death so many times. It's nothing. Because you just turned the light off. But to live and to change things that everybody says you can't. Now, that's a miracle of God. Now, I like what Bill Winston said. Miracles leave no traces. Well, that's a good statement. It just happened. So you must listen to the still small voice of God rather than the loud voice of the multitude. Write this down. I know I'm going fast. If you haven't experienced something in your past, it doesn't mean you can't experience it in your future. Let me say it again. If you haven't experienced something in your past, it doesn't mean you can't experience it in your future. Why? Because you can't live without a vision. And I've said this so many times that people, they struggle over money. And why would you struggle over money? Not because you live in America. Uh-uh. I mean, this works in Haiti, which is the poorest country, I think, in the Caribbean or Caribbean, however you say it. Watch it, the Caribbean and Dominican Republic. One line, you just cross the mountain. Whole different economy. Why? Because one side's prosperity thinking, the other side is poverty thinking. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so change your thinking. You got a lot of stinking thinking going on. You see what I'm saying? Your thoughts smell. Okay, this crowd didn't get that. Let me get over there. You see what I'm saying? So change that. I mean, smells will get people's attention. Sometimes Kathy puts on that favorite perfume that she got all kind. But there's a certain one I really like. And when it hits me, something changes me. I go black. I get my lean on. Hey, baby. I let that arm swing a little bit. What's up, baby? How you doing? Hey. She says, control yourself. If you haven't experienced something in your past, it doesn't mean you can't experience it in your future. How come you're so blessed financially? Because I know how much I want. I had a man mad at me not long ago. How much money will it take to shut your mouth? I said, $6,364,000,000 and change. You got a check? Now, I'm going to have to tell you what I told the man. This is not cussing in Louisiana. He said, no. I said, then shut the hell up. to me, hell is not cussing. It's a location.
Come on.
I'm flying out this afternoon, Brother Copeland. I'm going. You know, I get irritated with silliness and stupidity. Let me go on to this next point here. What you say the most comes out of what you believe the most. What you say the most comes out of what you believe the most. I can tell what you believe just by listening to you talk.
That's right.
Well, everybody's got to have financial trouble. Well, Ephesians 5:1 says you're a liar. Because the Bible says, be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. Well, Jesus never had a financial deficit. Didn't he say to be an imitator of him? Now, let me show you something. The Apostle Paul had a financial deficit. The Apostle Peter did. The Apostle John did. The Apostle Jude did. The Apostle James did. Why? I call those people the teaching apostles. Let me tell you why. Paul, what a wonderful man. Greatest intellectual mind, in my opinion, drawn to the rim of Christianity was the Apostle Paul. Whoo, man, he was something. Well, watch this. God tried to bless that man. God wanted to bless him. And you know what he did? And this happens all the time. They said, we want to bless you, Paul. I make tents. I work with my own hands. Well, that's a wonderful thing. It's good that you're a hard worker. God's just trying to bless you. But then he changes it in the next epistle. He said, I did you a disservice because I didn't receive from you the things you wanted to bless me with. But now I have received from Epaphroditus. Now watch what happens. Now I am full. I have all. And I abound. Jesus was not a taker, but he definitely was a receiver. And when that lady broke that alabaster box and wiped his feet, boy, and that oil smell, Judas was mad, but so was Peter. Because it sounds so churchy. Shouldn't this have been sold and given to the poor? You know what Jesus said in the original? Shut up! Watch this. This is mine. This is for me. This is not for the Jesus of Nazareth Evangelistic Association. This is for me. So ministers, hold your hand up if you're a minister. It's okay for somebody to bless you. And if your church gets mad about, just give them a sign. And tell them just to take a hike. Is that bad? Is that bad? I don't know what that means to you. That just means walk away from me. What you say the most comes out of what you believe the most. People say, boy, he says some of those radical things on Flashpoint. I only say what people think. Like I said this a while ago. You'll see it Tuesday on Flashpoint. Some of the stuff they want us to believe. I mean, do I have stupid wrote across my head? No. Don't use the bathroom on my back and tell me it's raining. Because it ain't raining, baby. It's like Jerry Savelle. Hey, Jesse, we got to pass this cow truck. He passed. Boy, I mean, you just couldn't get around. And then Dennis Burke passed. And then I said, man, I'm getting hit water. He said, that ain't water. What he didn't tell you was, I said, pull over that car wash. I got, and I held my motorcycle, and I went through the car wash with the brushes. But I smelled good. I had the white soap all over me. Then I got to where the wind was. We got to that hotel. People said, you smell so good. I said, don't get around them boys. Them boys stink over there. You do what you got to do. I knew it took a car wash to get that mess off of me. And I saw them cows as I walked by. That's for eating McDonald's. I just want you to know that. Because I was eating beef, you know. What you say the most comes out of what you believe the most. Write this down. How much time I got left? Okay. You must see yourself as a temple of God. Watch this. That contains His Spirit. So tell people, have you seen God in me lately? Now, people think that's arrogance and cockiness. No, it's not. That's confidence and assurance. You know, when you hear Brother Gaither and him sing, they don't go, well, I hope I hit the right note. No, you know how to hit the right note. You write the song. You do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's not bragging. It's just the fact. If you got the talent. Well, where'd you get it? Well, give God glory. God gave it to me. Now, this is going to sound so weird. I'm very good at making money. Oh, I know how to make money. I can make money. My daddy said, by that boy, my middle son, that Jesse, he can sell a Jew a cross. And the reason why, because my daddy wouldn't give me nothing. Never gave me anything. You know what I got for Christmas? An orange. I'm serious. An apple. A piece of candy. And I was glad to get it because we didn't have nothing. But not today. Oh, no. Now, I used to be concerned if Kathy went to the mall. I don't care. She can get what she wants. I don't mean that pridefully. Thank God. I give Him glory for it. And, you know, and I am a great giver. And I talked to George, and he said it was okay. I don't know if George is still in here or not. But George, I was talking to him on the phone. He said, Jesse, I'm going to be 70 years old. I said, you are. What are you going to do for your 70th birthday? He said, I'm taking me and my family, the grandkids, we're all going to Maui, Hawaii. I said, what a blessing of God. Now, that's making memories. Now, that's not cheap. I said, where y'all staying? And they were staying in Kanapali. I can't remember the name of that hotel, but a real nice hotel. And the lady was waiting on him and gave him the penthouse. An upgrade. That's pretty nice, huh? So, and so when I got off the phone, I thought, I only have one daughter, one granddaughter, and I brought them, boy. I mean, I pay for everything. I don't care. That's my job. And I said, and he told me I could say this. I said, I want a blessing. I want to be a part, even though I'm not on that trip. I want a blessing. So I said, Kathy. I always go to Kathy. I said, do you have a check? She said, I always got a check. I said, that's my wife right there. Stand up. Okay, this is my wife, Kathy. That's Kathy right there. Now, I'm only 3 years older than she is. I look 20. What do you laugh for? But only 3 years. That's it. So I called George back. I said, George, I want to be a blessing. What? No. I said, man, I want to pay for that trip. Right. He said, what? I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you $100,000. He said, $100,000? I said, yeah. I don't know if George is it. I did. I said, Kathy, cut the check. He said, George said, I'm getting 2 cabanas. I'm not bragging. Oh, he bragging. I could brag more with $100,000 in my pocket. Excuse me, $100,000 in Kathy's pocket than in mine. I'm not being, you understand? I just wanted to be a part of that memory. Did it hurt you? Not a bit. Nothing. My father is El Shaddai. Not El Cheapo. El Shaddai. Oh, you want to shout? You really want to shout? I give him the check. Oh, y'all ain't going to believe this, but I'm going to just tell you the truth. I give him the check. I didn't tell nobody. Y'all the first people I told. told everybody, I guess. Good God. You know, if I forget about all that. Watch this. A man comes up to me. What, the next day? Yes. The next day. Right. He don't know what I did. Watch this. He said, Brother Jesse, I heard what you did about all that fuel. For you people that don't know this, I never tell people what I do. But all that fuel in them jets that I have flown, me and Kathy paid for it. The ministry used my money to do that. Over $10 million worth. I'm not a broke man. Do I look broke?
No.
And I'll tell you why I hate poverty so much in just a minute. Remind me to go to that guy. So this man said, my son wants to bless you. This is personally, you know. I said, no, I'm already blessed, God. No, I want to bless you. Now, he don't know I just gave George and Terry $100,000. And I told him, I said, just spend it all. Just have enough money to get out the parking lot. Enjoy yourself. This, it only happens once in your life. 70 years old, plus all your grandkids and your kids. It's just a blessing. So his young son gives me a check. I'm thinking maybe it's $50, $100. It's $50,000. Wait. And then the father says, I want to bless you too. I couldn't believe that you gave that all. I said, well, yeah, but that don't matter. And he gave me a check for $400,000. $450,000.
Hallelujah.
Print that, baby. Am I telling the truth, Kathy? I said, boy, I called George. I said, George, y'all must be some good soil. Jesus, man. And the Lord said, I ain't finished. He said, I will not owe you anything. I said, don't even think about it. God, it ain't nothing. I just like being a blessing to you. And I have tried and tried to outgive God, and I just can't. Boy, we have done some crazy things with money for his kingdom, but just can't do it. Which brings me to this point. To fly like an eagle, you can't be pecking with the chickens. To fly like an eagle, you can't be pecking with chickens. You understand what I'm saying? Because chickens got their head down. And the reason why chickens die and preachers eat chickens so much because there's that stupid rooster. It's Peter that's blowing it. And then preachers have been killing chickens ever since. Pray to eat them chickens, boy. I'll tell you what. Before the cock, you're going to deny me three times. You can't. To fly like an eagle, you can't be pecking with the chickens. You know, you don't eat eagles. But you will wipe out a chicken in a second. Especially Popeye. Lord, a chicken will Popeye. Lord. Jesus. Even when you burp, it's wonderful. It's not healthy, but it's just something about the taste. Kathy said that the other day. Jesse, we ain't had no Popeye chicken almost a year. I'm going to Popeye. I said, let the Lord lead you, mama. Just go on down there. Do what you got to do. Brother Copeland, she went get the chicken. I did not go get the chicken. To fly like an eagle, you can't be pecking with the chickens. Oh, how much time? Okay, write this down. If the light of your vision is too bright for you, it's because your eyes are accustomed to the world around you. If the light of your vision is too bright for you, it's because your eyes are accustomed to the world around you. Ladies and gentlemen, I create my world and I walk in it. You can say what you want. That's exactly what I do. I know what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it. Not because I'm smart, but I'm not dumb by no means. Now, I'm not highly educated, but I make more money than any Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Columbia, Duke professor. And I mean it pridefully. See, it's got to be in you. You got to believe in yourself. What can I do with this? How can I function with this? find out what the world needs. And let me tell you something. I don't care if I give to a rich man or a poor man. If God told me to go buy Elon Musk a car, I'm going to buy Elon Musk a car. I don't care if he's the richest man in the world. That ain't got nothing to do with this. It has to do simply with obedience. You see what I'm saying? It didn't make any difference. It's just to God be the glory. And I know it sounds arrogant. No, no, it's not. It's just giving God glory. But you see, like, I never take vacations. Holiday. Most people do. I don't. Now, I've been married to Kathy 53 years. Finally, we couldn't celebrate our 50th or our 51st or our 52nd wedding anniversary because of the COVID. Couldn't fly nowhere. Finally, man, the 53rd, we flew. What's the name of that town? Biarritz, France. And I said, Kathy, she said, you mean you're going to give me 3 days? I said, yeah. I said, but we're going to have a fine 3 days. And I put it in a hotel where Napoleon III built for his wife, Eugenia. And this thing was gorgeous. It was just nice. I said, spend what you want. I don't care. Do whatever. We're going to have a nice time. And we had a wonderful time. It was a blessing of the Lord. But it was nothing like my house. Oh, y'all going to get mad at me. Oh, y'all. Because that was Napoleon III. I got the original Napoleon Bonaparte. I got his furniture. Sign. I mean, andirons and fire escape. My God, I walk around my house just like this, like Napoleon does sometimes. I go around like this. Oh, people get so mad. Does it look like it bothered me? No. And I'm not showing off. I don't care. That's what God told me to do. What if he told you to give it away? I'd give it away. Do I want to? Well, no, I don't want to. But I would. I ain't going to hell over a house. Next point. Remember, if the light of your vision is too bright for you, it's because you are accustomed to the world around you. This is this point. In your vision, beware of the wrong person or people around you. See, some people are joining your steam, but they're the wrong person. They say one thing to your face and another thing behind your back. See, I just want the truth. I just tell my staff, and I bless my staff. I took my whole staff and their wives to Hawaii, 180 of them. Yeah, you Fritz went? Yeah, all of them. And I told them, I said, this is not your vacation. I'm going to still, but you still take your vacation. I'm just going to bless you. Now, I couldn't shut my ministry down. I said, I can only take 50% 1 week, and then I'm going to stay, and I'm going to be your guide. I mean, I've been to Hawaii 107 times. I can be a guide. We're walking, we're walking, we're walking. You know, I can tell you. I've been to all them islands. I've done it so many times. And Kathy gets so mad at me. Don't you love it, Jesse? Look at the ocean, Jesse. I said, I've seen it. It's water. I've flown over that Pacific Ocean, you know. And great, you know what I mean? And I took them, and I said, I put them in the same hotel I'm in. I didn't get no podunk hotel. I said, the only money you're going to spend is for your souvenirs and the different things. When the Hilton found out I did that, they wanted to go to Honolulu. I kept saying, no, you want to go to Maui. I'll take you to Grand Wailea. I'll take you, or if you want to go to Hyatt Regency or whatever, Ritz-Carlton, whatever. No, because they wanted to see Pearl Harbor and all that kind of stuff. I said, okay. So I put them in a nice, super nice hotel. And I flew my office staff from Australia. And I flew my office staff from England. Plus all three boards. I said, the only money you spent is your souvenirs. And I took them around. They had the most wonderful time. Now, watch that. But I said, and then I flew half my staff back, and I waited 2 days because they had to tell everybody. And I realized something, that 50% of my staff can do 100% of the work. Now, I was born at night, but not last night, baby. Now, they were working hard. I mean, they were pushing. I'm not expecting them to do that. That was pretty hard. But I knew they could do it so that when I have to jerk that chain, because you're only as weak as the weakest link, or you're only as strong as the weakest link in your chain. So now they never have that. I don't have to tell them to work overtime. Nothing. We'll do it, boss, whatever you want. They couldn't get over that. Fritz Brown, stand up. He's my oldest employee in terms of time. It'll be 40 years you've been with me. In April, yeah. That's Fritz. All right. Let me show you something, how money would change it. I wanted to bless Fritz. Was it a 30 year? I can't remember now. Something like that. And I said, Fritz, he always talking about Israel. Oh, I want to go to Israel. I want to go to Israel. I need to go to Israel, boss. I need to go. This is several years ago. I said, Fritz, I'm going to give you $10,000. And you can go to Israel. Or I said, you can go to Israel. I'll pay your way to Israel. Whoever you want to go with, if you want to go with John Hagee, go with John Hagee. If you, whoever you want, it doesn't matter to it. Or I'll just give you $10,000 and you spend what you want. And I thought he was going to say, he'd been telling me, I was like, Israel, Israel, Israel. He goes, I take the $10,000 and I'm going to go to Disney World. It's amazing. That's amazing to me. Mickey Mouse beat Jerusalem. I said, that's fine with me. Now, he loves I have a library that'll blow your socks off. Even the rabbis, they go, my God, man, you got stuff here. And so I bought him some books. I said, let me help you out of here. Man, he couldn't get over that. It was wonderful. Now, you know, his pastor, he got saved under my ministry many, many years ago. His pastor told me, don't hire Fritz. Boy, crazy. I said, I need crazy people. Why? Because we're going to have to run through some barricades and jump over some. This is all the beginning of the mission way back when, you see. He's been there. In your vision, beware of the wrong person. He was not the wrong person. He was the right person. Now, let me say this. Vision is made up of corporate partnership. Corporate partnership is greater than singular partnership. Now, Kathy, what did I tell you to remind me of? Poverty. Tell you why I hate it so much. Hate this with a passion. I'm going back in time now. Do y'all remember them little bitty hamburgers about that big? Is that what we call White Castle? I remember we were coming home. My daddy could not handle money to save his life. Just full of fear. A good man, don't misunderstand me. A little selfish. You know, I don't mean that to be critical, just being truthful. So we stopped at this, one of them little White Castle. Is that what you call it, Bishop? Get some little hamburgers. Well, Daddy came back with a bag with three hamburgers in it. It was four of us at a call. Wait. Me, my oldest brother Wayne, all of them in heaven today. I'm the last of the planets. I'm the only one living now. All my grandparents, my brothers, my sisters, all of us gone. Just me left here. So Daddy opens up the bag. And I'm sitting in the back of the car. It's 1956. I remember it like it was yesterday. Daddy takes out the hamburger. Well, in fact, and Mama says, give him the bag, Paul. So he takes his burger out. You know, and it wasn't big. It's only three of them. You know, but they're about that big, I think. Something like that. They've done that. A couple of bites and they're gone, you know. One good bite and it's gone. She hands Wayne, my oldest brother, one. My dad's eating one. She hands me one. I take it. And I'm about ready to eat. And I look at her and I say, Ma, where's your hamburger? Couldn't afford a fourth one. And I looked at the hamburger. I said, Ma, I'm not eating this hamburger. She said, shut up, boy. I'll beat you. I said, well, you can get your belt, stick, do whatever. I am not eating this hamburger. Unless you eat it with me. That day, at six and a half, I said, I'll never be poor a day in my life. She said, you eat. I said, I'm not, Mama. She said, well, I'll take a bite. I said, she said, you take a bite for it. No. We eat this together. My daddy didn't even blink. That day, in the back of that car, I'm going to buy her a house. Call. We had nothing. But I fulfilled my promise. Amen. I paid off her house. I hate poverty with a passion. And I took very small bites of that little hamburger. Mom said, "You taking small bites. Eat it, Mom." I said, "Because we ain't going to be poor long, Mama. Just let me do what I do." 6 and a half. I began to cut yards, grass. It changed my way of thinking. I began to have a vision of me being blessed. The what? Oh, yeah. Man, you're going to make me. I don't cry easy. Kathy loves it when I cry. Make him cry, Jesus. I hate that, you know, because I was told never to cry. I wasn't allowed to. Well, South Louisiana, the state bird is a mosquito. Not really, but I mean, we got mosquitoes big as pelicans. I'm telling you, we got some mosquitoes, buddy. Because they had a lot of swamp, you know what I mean? And I remember my mama. Y'all remember when he used to hang clothes on the line? Go out there, yeah, with them little pinchers, whatever you call them. What do you call them thing? Yeah, clothespin. And my mama, that slapping them mosquitoes. And I seen blood go down her leg. You know, somebody's keep biting it, and she kill them, and they're full of blood. I said, "God, Mom." I said, "Mom, how can you do that?" Gotta have clean clothes. And so I remember she asked my dad, "Paul, can't we get a washing machine or a dryer or something?" "Oh, just too much money." Now, I was 13, I think 13, 12 or 13. And I saved my money, you know. So I got off the school bus and went to Sears. Everybody went to Sears. Sears and Roebuck. Not Sears, just Sears and Roebuck. I walked in there, and I walked it into the appliance section. I said, "I want to buy a washer and a dryer." The washer was $55. The dryer was $45. Now, that's a lot of money back in that day. They said, "Well, where's your mother and father?" I said, "You're not talking to them. You're talking to me." "Well, young man, do you have the money to pay for it?" I said, "Cash. You want cash?" Yes. I said, "I want you to deliver it to 123 Juanita Street on the Coteau Road. And how much it costs for you to set it up?" He said, "Well, that's an extra $25. I said, "Charge me for it." And I paid him cash. Watch this. In dollars, quarters, 50 cents. I had me a sack from all them yards. He couldn't get over that. So they did. So he said, "It'll be there on Wednesday." I said, "Okay." I said, "Can you have it in the afternoon? I had to be out of school. I'm going to be out of school." Then Wednesday was my day off from working at that time. So they showed up. So the man knocks on the door. "Hello, are you Miss Velma DePlantis?" Yes. He said, "Well, we have your washer and dryer. Where would you like for us to hook it up at?" She said, "Excuse me?" She said, "We have your washer and dryer. You paid for it to be hooked up, so we come to hook it up. It'll take us about 40 minutes to do both of them, but we'll knock it out." And Mama wanted a gas dryer, not an electric dryer, you know. So she said, "Excuse me a minute. Hey, Paul!" That was my daddy's name. "Paul!" Dad come out. She said, "You bought me a washer and a dryer?" He said, "No. I told you, we can't afford that." She said, "Sir, you at the wrong house." He said, "Is this 123 Juanita Street on the Coteau Road?" Yes. "Here it is." She said, "Well, who bought this?" He said, "Well, let me look." And I was in the back bedroom. And he said, "Bought by Jesse DePlante." She says, "Jesse!" And I walked out, and my dad looking at me. I said, "I don't want the mosquitoes biting you anymore, Mom. I don't want your legs bleeding." She said, "Boy, I said, you remember the hamburger, Mama? This is the beginning, Mama.
Amen.
This is the beginning. A vision. Yeah, y'all seeing something in me that I don't show nobody. You love it. I'm getting mellower. As I get older, I was watching a movie and it touched my heart. And the lights are dark. I got a beautiful theater in my house. That's Bishop Butler. He's been in him and Deb. They stayed at my home. Had a wonderful time. And it touched my heart and I went, And Kathy, I can't see because they got all the lights. She said, are you crying? I said, shut up, woman. I ain't. Leave me alone. Can I tell him my Bishop story? Bishop, oh, I love Bishop. I've been around him before he had his grandbaby, the kids. It's just great. Been preaching for him a long, long time. He comes. I said, why don't you stay in my home? Let me see how much time I got. Okay, I didn't hurry. I said, are you in Denver? Now, you know, he goes, well, bless God. He said, now, Brother Jesse, I get up pretty early in the morning. Now, he was going to see the Detroit Lions and the Saints play. He had tickets. He even brought me some. He said, look, you want to go with me? I said, no, I'm going to watch him in my theater. Oh, you got a theater? Yeah. He went, my God, look at this theater. I said, you're going to see it better than here. And he was so kind. He said, he gave the tickets to my staff. He said, I'm going to watch it here. I said, you know, we're not pulling for the Detroit Lions. I said, I just want you to know you're going to lose in front of us. Because who that say going to beat them Saints? Who that? Some people say the Detroit Lions going to beat the Saints anyway. So he said, now, you know, so we had a wonderful time. And I mean, the Saints is beating him. And he goes, bless God. And I said to myself, he can bless God all he wants. Them Saints going to overrun them Lions, man. You know? Anyway, we had one. He goes to bed. He said, now I get up about, 6 o'clock in the morning. I said, okay. So I made sure I was up. Because I like people to stay in my home. I like them, I want to bless them. Well, 6:30 came. He took the blue suite, him and Deborah. 7 o'clock. 8 o'clock. 9 o'clock. 10 o'clock. The door opens up. And there's Bishop. What time is it? He said, Mom. I said, it's 10 o'clock. He goes, I have never slept like it. It was, and I was so glad because they were so comfortable. But the best part of Bishop, and I said, now, this home is totally unique and different. I said, I want you to see something. And when I open up the door, Bishop walks in. Pastor Deborah walks in. Then he looks at his wife. He says, Deborah, I failed you. I said, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. I said, no. And we had such an honor that they would come. And we had such a wonderful time. And why I have gone to this church, and I guess because Word of Faith got a vision in Detroit, overseas, Atlanta, so many, Austin. I mean, so many, and I love people with vision. So, before Mama went home to be with the Lord, a house was paid for, car was paid for. Wait. I had to keep fighting that poverty that was in my mom and daddy, my grandmother. My grandmother, I wanted to buy her something nice. My grandmother never wore a dress over $5 because they would buy fabric and they would make their dresses. And I wanted to buy a nice suit. My grandmother, my mother's eye. I never knew her real name. I always called her grandma. I found out her name at the funeral. Her name was Elvira. I went, Elvira. Elvira. Good Lord. I always just call her grandma or mama. So I said, I want you to try the suit on. Oh, grandson, I can't let you do it. She's trying to look at the tag. I said, no, don't look at the tag. It was a Nolan Miller suit, about $600. Let me show you what poverty will do you. I said, Grandma, she said, I don't know. I don't know where to wear this. I said, we'll find a place and I'll bring you. She said, oh, no, I can't wear that. I'm going to be buried in that. She never put it on till she was dead. They buried her in that suit. I wanted her to wear it when she was alive. Now, she did look good when she was dead. And she wanted this, the price tag. And when people would come to her house, look what my grandson spent on me. Now, that was sad. And I looked in and I thought, yeah, she looks good. God, but where's the smile? Where's the gleam in the eye? I wish she'd have wore this. It still bothers me. Stand to your feet. You see, she didn't have a vision for a nice outfit. Mom struggled with it all. But God sent people like Kenneth Copeland and Gloria, Jerry and Carolyn, Keith and Phyllis, Bill and Veronica, Jesse and Kathy, Bishop and Deborah, people to say, hey, you can have something nice. It could be a blessing. You can. Because it's not going to stop you from giving. You're still going to be the blessing you want to be. So never be without a vision. Because if you do, you're going to die. And you might have some nice clothes in the casket. But I'd rather you be alive wearing something nice. And create a memory. Oh, come on, show condolence. Yeah, I'll do that, Lord. Jan. Lord just spoke something to me. Do this, Jan. Yeah, Jan Harbor. You took your family to Hawaii, didn't you? You know how much money you spent? Okay. Tell me. About $20,000. Kathy, we're going to send you a check for $25,000. I want to pay for that trip, too. Is that okay? Can we do that? Now, the rest of you Copelands, you're on your own. No, I'm just joking. Make that happen. Okay. Hallelujah. See, I just tell Kathy, make it happen. I'm not bragging. The Lord said, do it in front of everybody. I said, okay. That blessed me. When you I called her not long. I said, where you been? Oh, I've been to Hawaii. Oh, you did? Ah. And the Lord said, what you going to do, Jesse? I've been contemplating prayer. Man, I don't want to get in your business and stuff like that, you know. And I said, but I just wanted to be a blessing and to allow that just to happen. Stick your hand up real quick. I'm going to let you go. Let me get up here. Praise the Lord. One day I'm going to have long legs. I can jump these things here. Father, I thank you that everyone, remember they walked forward when we prayed the anointing of increase. Oh, bless them beyond their wildest dreams. Because you know, Lord, they might want to buy their mama a Burger King Whopper instead of one little White Castle things. Or maybe a nice dress. Or the payoff of a home. Or a home. I don't know. All I know, you will do what you say. I thank you for it, Lord. I believe you for it. And I call it done in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a standing ovation. It has been an honor and a pleasure once again into Brother Copeland and Sister Copeland and all the staff, thank y'all for allowing me to be a part of this all these years. Brother Copeland sent Kathy a wonderful text. I don't carry a phone. And said, I really appreciate the words you spoke. I appreciate that. You'll never be a day without prayer. I promise you that. Not only will Brother Copeland pray for you, but all these speakers, we pray for y'all. Because we believe in what Kenneth Copeland Ministries is doing. We believe in you. And next year, if Jesus tarries and you're here, you're going to be totally different financially. Mark my word. No, and no other choice in the matter. Come on out here, my brother. There ain't no other choice in the matter. Now, I know I went over my time. I told Barry I wasn't going to do it. I'm sorry, Barry. I lied. I'm over a few minutes, you know. But I'm going to be flying. I'm heading out to the plane right now to fly out. Be praying for my, y'all might know Roy Holton was at my book and tape table. Well, he had something wrong with his toe, and he had to go to the doctor. Well, it was septic. So they amputated it this morning before it get into his bloodstream. You know, he had cut himself at his house, and he never thought he got infected. Didn't know, you know. And but he's all right. You know, they found it just got to the very top of the bone, so it was able to get rid of that. So be praying for them. Him and Mary, that's my executive secretary, his wife. She's here, and everything's fine. He's already had all this done. But be praying for total recovery and for that toe to grow back out. Would you do that? I love you. I really do. And Jesus is Lord.